Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
Amen. Hey, by the way, Saturday morning, that prayer, region-wide prayer, is Saturday morning at 6:30, okay? Everyone say, life or death? Life or death? Say it one more time. Life or death? All right, so in Matthew chapter 10, verse 21, it says, the brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. I wanted to start off with a real lighthearted scripture this morning. But let me explain. I'm sure that could include physical death, but I believe this is really speaking about the kingdom life or death, and I'll explain that in just a minute. You know, this isn't one of those feel good verses, but it's one we need to pay attention to. I think any instruction the Lord gives us, we need to pay attention to, not just the ones that make us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yes.
I mean, there are things the Lord has instructed us on that are critical, but because we ignore them, we fall prey to them, and we just, he gave us the instruction book. I was putting together table and chairs yesterday, and in putting together the table and chairs, there's this one piece that goes underneath the table. It's kind of like a support for the drawers of the table. And it had these small rods that went through these metal kind of grates that connected. It was a pretty cool looking table. So I put the metal rods through, and I put the screws into the metal rods, and then I read on in the instructions, and I saw that I shouldn't have put the screws on yet. So I had to take the screws back out. How many of you know oftentimes it's easier to put something together than it is to take it apart and then put it back together, right? If I would have just looked at the instructions, I wouldn't have missed that. But instead, I have to take this little Allen wrench with extremely sharp edges on it. I swear they sharpened this thing before they put it in the instructions. Because I put that Allen wrench in, and I have an impact gun. You know, you got to have an impact gun, right? Yeah. And so I hit the impact gun, and it spins the rod and spins the Allen wrench in my hand. Now, how many of you know the sharp edges cut my little fingers? Look, I have a boo-boo right there. See it? See it? Can you see it? Look at that. It almost needed stitches. No, it didn't. It didn't. It didn't. But I thought to myself, good night. If I would have just read the instructions, I would have avoided a lot of pain. I would have avoided a little bit of pain. It wasn't that bad. But the truth is that I think because we avoid instruction at times from the Lord, we have to endure pain that is unnecessary. I hear people all the time, oh, will you pray for me? Because, you know, we're going through financial hardship. Are you tithing? No. What did Lamont just say? Oh, by the way, there's a website that you can visit. It is www.lamontpayshistithesohecanbeinvitedtoyourhouse.com. I have never heard that preached in my life. That was brilliant. Thank you, Lamont. That was, wasn't that fun, though? Clap your hands if that was fun. Yeah, come on. God gives us instruction. I believe Matthew 10:21 is one of those instructions that we have to watch out for. You know, it's painful to think that children can actually betray parents to bring about death. And you say, well, you know, I don't see how that can happen. It's not talking about physical death. What it's talking about is that if you put your kids, if you put your brothers or sisters, if you put your parents above God, then they will actually cause you to lose the life of God that's on the inside of you. Let me explain a little further. It says in Matthew 10, this is later on, it says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, meaning this is Jesus speaking. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. This is instruction. You say, well, but I want to love my children. Absolutely. I want to love my parents. Yes. I want to love my brother and sister. But listen, you can't love your children as good as you can if you love Jesus first. If you love Jesus first, you can love your children better. Thank you. See, why? In Matthew 11, it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent men take it by force. This is a violent confrontation of our system of thinking. You say, I don't see it that way. I understand. There are many who don't. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see the kingdom. You can't see God's rule. You can't see how it works that way. Like, you can't see how tithing can possibly work. I get it. I was there. But even with tithes and offerings, God says, look, try me in this. Yeah. Test me out. Yes. See if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so much so that you can't contain it all. Amen. Amen. Yes. This is instruction from the Lord. You can ignore it. And God's not like mad at you. He's not like, he doesn't turn his back and cross his arms and stick out his lower lip if you don't listen to him. Yes. It does hurt. It's painful to God when you don't listen. Mm-hmm. Just like it's painful to you when your kids don't listen. Like, you know, you see. Have you ever given your kids advice and they like completely blow you off and think you're a complete nutball because you gave them that advice, and they look at you like you got like seven eyes on your forehead, and like you don't have a clue, you don't understand, you're old, yeah, how did I get old? I done stuff. I made mistakes, but look, I get it. I get it. It is. It's hard to get advice from someone who's not where you're at. You somehow think they don't know, but maybe they do. And I can promise you this, that God does know. And he gives you instruction for your benefit, not to control you, for goodness sakes. Would you please get over it? God is not about controlling you. He's about loving you. And look, if you're about to step on a landmine, you think it's controlling because he grabs you by the scruff of your necks and jerks you backwards. Why did you do that, God? You're controlling me. It's like, you know, you're walking on the street with your little kid and your little kid goes to jump out on the street and you grab him by their shirt and you jerk him back and a bus goes by. They don't see the bus. They just are upset with you because you jerked them backwards. Why'd you do that to me? Because you were about to hit by a bus. I didn't see any bus. Come on, somebody. Amen.
And look,
you're part of the solution for those that can't see. If you're a believer, and you've been around for more than 2 minutes, you're part of their solution. Like, you don't get to, like, pleasantly ignore their foolishness and not help them see God's instruction. Because his instruction, or can I use a different word, his rule...
Oh, I don't like that word, Pastor. I don't like that word, rule. That sounds a lot like rules.
Get over it, man. Come on. We have rule for a reason. There's a reason you're not allowed to travel 138 miles an hour through a city street. You say, but nobody should be able to tell me what to do.
No. We want to save your life and we want to save other people's lives. And because you're willing to be stupid doesn't mean we have to endure your stupidness.
Oh, look, I'm just preaching right now, okay?
Look, the blessing is that we all stay safe when you travel the speed limit through your city street. I'm in my daughter's house and son-in-law's house, and there's kids playing all over the place. These kids don't even know whose yard's whose. They think it's all theirs. Like, I watch them. They run in people's houses. They don't knock. They just go in people's houses, and they'll get food. Am I wrong? They will. They'll get food. They're like, it's like, dang, I don't even do that. I ask. Yeah, not these kids. Why? Because they believe it's just all theirs. They're just part of a community. They're part of a, you know, they just feel safe enough and welcomed enough and loved enough, yes, to just believe it's all for them, right? But listen, we've got to keep them safe, right? So I've seen people come by her house, and they're doing, like, on this back street, they're doing 40, 50 miles an hour, and these kids could just pop out at any time. So what do? You've got to stop that foolishness. Why? Because you hate that person and you want to control them? No. Imagine what they would feel like if they would hit one of these children. Yeah. They have to live with that the rest of their life. Imagine what that would do to the families. Imagine the people that would be affected. How it affects a community when you don't listen to instruction. And God, he doesn't have that much instruction. He really doesn't. But there's enough there that we got to pay attention to it. See, here's the thing. When we're born again, it says this in the Word. It says, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean? It means the moment that you are born again. Now how, you say, well, okay, but what do you mean by born again? Well, literally, the word means born from above. Or born into a different place than what you've been used to. That's what born again means. It means born into the kingdom of God. And we know this verse. We all know this verse. Come on, quote it with me. For God so loved the world that he that whosoever, pause, whosoever, okay, no, wait. That word believes, that doesn't mean you're aware of. Okay? It means that you actually believe to the extent that you do what that belief says you should do. In other words, I believe that Jesus is Lord. So guess what that does? That means if I believe that Jesus is Lord, I'm not just making mental assent, but I place myself under that condition that I'm believing. He's Lord. He is my Lord. That means he gets to do what? He gets to tell me how I'm to live. Here's the beauty of it. He loves me so much that what he has in store for me is so much better than I can ask for or imagine. If I just do what he tells me to do, I get to be the best version of me that I should be. I'm a whole lot better if I listen to him than if I don't. Just like your kids. If they would just listen. Do you know how many parents I hear say, if they would just listen to me? No, I get it. if you would just listen to God. And the reason your kids aren't listening to you, because you're not listening to God. Come on, somebody. Never mind. I just
went past preaching into meddling right there. All right.
Look, we're all born into this natural world. We all came through the birth canal or C-section. However it is we got out, we're out here now, right? Look, I've seen our children born both ways. Like, I've had the whole catcher's mitt on, you know, and, you know, all that. I've done that, right? But I also saw my wife have a C-section. That's scary. I'm telling you, Dr. Clark was elbows, his head was way down in my wife. Like, he had parts sitting up on the, like, it was scary. It was frightening. I mean, like, she's behind this cloth. Like, they got her, like, strapped down, and they got her behind this cloth, and, like, she's aware and awake, and I'm looking down, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, no one should ever be like that. And then out of, like, they're putting parts up, and I'm like, wait, that's not the baby. That's not the baby. That's, and then they pull out the baby, right? They start putting parts back in. I'm like, please put them in right. Am I joking? No. And so the baby comes out. I remember when Josh was born. He was born on January 18th. Connell was born on January 28th. Took a while. That was a little plug for you. You might get a free coffee at the end. Yeah, yeah. But when Josh was born, like, they pulled him out, and he was like purple blue. He wasn't that pink, healthy look. He was purple blue, and his nose was about that big. It looked like a beak. I mean, no, he wasn't. No, he's beautiful now, but he wasn't back then. Hey, listen, my eldest child is a witness of this. Like, when Ben first saw Josh, he leans over to me, said, "Dad, is there something wrong with him?" In a couple hours, I don't know how it happened, but his nose shrunk and he turned like a nice pretty pink color, and he's a pretty baby then, but ooh, man, at first, scary. Wait, I'm off subject. Look, we all came, look at someone and say, you came into this world somehow. Whether it's C-section, birth canal, whatever it is. You know, I think if Josh would have got squeezed through the canal, it might have adjusted things. But anyway, I'm going to let that go. All right, so. No, there's a benefit. Anyway. All right, so we all came into this world and we all learned how to function in this world, right? Here's the problem, that this world, as we know it now, has a separation from the way God designed it to be. In the beginning, it was all together. Spirit, carnal realm, the natural realm, all that was together. Am I right? But when man sinned, God separated the spirit realm from the natural realm, right? Yes. Now, when we came into this world, we came in with a natural birth. And we learned to function according to our five senses. And so we learn to walk out this thing by what we see and what we hear and what we taste and touch, what we feel. We learn to function in the natural realm, right? Yeah. And there are things that we learn to live by, what works. And we learned about gravity works. Like, you're not more than 18 months old or so. You fall off the couch the first time. You start understanding gravity, right? And so you find out there's rules here, and you learn to function by those rules. When you meet Jesus for the first time, when you discover that there is another realm, there's another kingdom, there's another place, and you recognize that there's a king of that place, his name is Jesus. And you recognize that you believe that he is your Lord. Then immediately your eyes are, boop, your eyes become open to that kingdom. Immediately, bam, you can see further than you've ever seen. You see into the realm of the kingdom of God, in the realm of the Spirit, into what God has that you couldn't see before. You become aware. That doesn't mean you got it all figured out, just like when you first came into the world, naturally you had it all figured out. As a matter of fact, naturally, we're still trying to figure a lot of things out, right? But the same is true in the Spirit, that you come into the world like a baby. Now listen, you say, well, that's scary. Well, it is, but no more scary than when you were born naturally. But God saw fit that you had parents, people around you, brothers and sisters, a community, so you could learn how to function in this world. You could run through yards and go in people's houses. You could feel safe. You could eat their food if you wanted to. Are you with me? And the same's true of the Spirit. Your eyes are open to, and here's what's crazy about this. When your eyes are open to the kingdom of God and you can see, here's what you see. At the center of this kingdom is the Lord himself. He's the biggest component. As a matter of fact, it says in heaven that there needs to be no lights or candles or anything like that because everywhere is lit by his light, his love. And so you can see further than you've ever seen before. And because you see further, you see more of God than you've ever seen before. As a matter of fact, prior to that, you only knew about God because you heard it from others, stories, or maybe you never did hear about God. Who knows? But most of us have heard something about God. And you know what's crazy? We can go our whole lives knowing about God. We can be even religious because that's what religion is. Religion is knowing about God. We can go our whole lives knowing about God without ever really knowing him. Yes. And God's desire for you is for you to know him, for you to live, move, and have your being in him, for him to talk to you and you to talk to him, for him to walk with you and you to walk with him. Yes. Isn't that what happened in the garden? It's what he intended and it's what he intends. So yes, connection, thank you. So we look and we see further, we see more of this kingdom realm than we've ever seen before. And the more we walk in it, the more we see there is. It's the amazing part about living in God. Every moment I spend with him, when I'm intimate with him, when I talk to him and he talks to me, I discover more about him and I discover there's more to know about him. The more I know him, the more I find out there is to know. And what happens, the result of that is that he gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I, in comparison, get smaller and smaller and smaller. But the beauty is that he is in me. Yes. And so together we help form me into who I'm supposed to be. Yes. But the antithesis of that is true. When my eyes were open to the kingdom, I chose to accept him. I chose to believe him. I chose to give my attention and my affection to him. But the opposite can be true too. Maybe God doesn't come through the way I think he should have come through. Or maybe something happens or maybe someone dies that I didn't expect. Or maybe I prayed for something and it didn't quite happen the way that I thought it should, and I don't go and talk to him and allow him to explain, I just get mad. I get offended with God. And rather than me looking for him and discovering more of him and understanding more of what he wanted to do in that situation, I turn my back on him. I take my eyes off of him. Now I can't see in the kingdom like I could. And when I can't see him, he starts to get smaller and smaller and smaller to the place that he gets smaller and I get bigger. My desires become larger. What I want, I don't listen to his instruction. And so the side effect of that is I become less and less of who I'm supposed to be instead of more and more of who I'm supposed to be. I start rejecting what he wants for me and grabbing hold of what I want. But you know what's funny? Is it's in that moment the darkness begins to inject the weird stuff. And I think it's me. I think it's just what I want. Like, I'm just going to do what I want from now on. God, you didn't heal my mom. And she died. So I'm mad at you. So I'm going to do it my way. And what happens is God becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. And I become larger and larger and larger. And my desires become more. But darkness has this way of, when I reject God, darkness has this ability of putting the desires of darkness on the inside of me. So then who I become isn't just less, it gets twisted. I start desiring things not just that take me away from God, but that make me some twisted version of myself. I desire things that make me, instead of more and more beautiful, less and less beautiful. More perverted, more twisted, less of who I'm supposed to be. And we see that occurring on the earth at a rapid pace right now. And it's the heart of God to show himself. It's the heart of God to even those who have turned from him and are embracing darkness, to pierce that darkness with his light. That's his desire. That's what he's up to right now. That's what he did to you. And that's what he did to me. He pierced the darkness of my life. When I was seeking after my own desires, when I was going after what I thought I should be, he brought a light I'll never forget. I was in the back of a church that I said I would never go back into. Now, I was listening, how God got me there. God will use the strangest things to get you to play. There was a band that was playing there. The church was right across from my house. It's still there. And they had a band playing. And I love music. And who would become my wife said to me, hey, why don't we go over? It sounds pretty good. You like music? I'm like, I don't want to go there. I'm kind of mad at God. For really no apparent reason. I was just doing my own thing. I was just seeking my own life. I was just forming my life in my own opinion because that's what I wanted to do. See, I was real big and God was real small. And so I went there in the back row. The music was good. It was real good, actually. They were a real talented band. But I didn't feel much. And I'm getting antsy because I know at the end, and I knew enough about church to know there's going to be something comes at the end. You know, always going to hook you at the end, right? Either ask for an offering, or they're going to ask you to commit to something, or do something, or go on a mission trip, or something like that. And I was wanting to kind of like slip out of the back, right? Kind of like some of you do on Sunday morning. Yeah. Did I say that? I did. That was an inside thought. So. What did he eat this morning, you know? So I was in back and he had us all stand up and I thought, oh, I didn't get out in time. Here it comes. So I stood up. Janice was sitting beside me, standing. And the guitar player, I love playing guitar and I admired his playing and his singing and the band was good. But he takes his guitar and he kind of pulls it around behind him, he has, and just hanging by his strap, and he grabs the mic. And he said, listen, can I just talk to you for a minute? You could feel something coming from somewhere that I hadn't felt for a very, very long time. You could feel this, it wasn't heavy, but it was weighty. And he went to say the next words, and I saw his mouth moving, but I couldn't hear him talk.
And I thought there was something wrong with the sound system. But he didn't flinch. He didn't. He just kept talking. And as a matter of fact, I couldn't hear anything else in the room. And then I heard these words. Son, I'm not going to promise you another day. I wasn't sure what that meant, but it wasn't good. Actually, I knew what it meant. See, I gave my life to Jesus when I was 10 years old in that same church, and I fell away from the Lord. I went from going this direction and seeing him bigger and bigger to at some point just getting stupid and turning around the other way. And I knew this. I knew that from time to time, I would have encounters with God. I mean, I was partying. I was doing stupid stuff. And I would have these crazy encounters with God. I'd be in the back of a car. We were a bunch of us guys were partying. It was a snow-lit night. We were in my grandfather's Buick LeSabre. I'll never forget the night. There was snow outside, and it was moonlit. And I'm telling you, we were doing stuff we shouldn't have been doing. I was in my teens, and I would hang out with the older guys, and we were partying. And I wasn't in the state of mind to have an encounter with God, but how many of you know God will oftentimes suspend the rules to get to you and bring you his light into darkness? And I remember as I was sitting in the back of that car having this like crazy encounter with God, and I knew that God still loved me somehow, some way. And I went home that night and I pulled the covers up over my head. And I began to pray in the Spirit, and I was still able to pray. I'm like, wow. If I was him, I would have left me a long time ago. If I was God, I would have washed my hands of this critter who turned his back on me. I wouldn't have anything to do with him. But yet, that isn't how God rolls. He loves. And so I'm in the back of that church. I'm seeing this guy's mouth move. And God says to me, I'm not promising you another day. And I said, Lord, I give my life to you from this day forward. You're my Lord. You're my King. I've ignored you. I've turned my back on you. I've given up on you. I've been offended with you. And I choose this day. Whatever you make of my life, it's yours. And so I gave him my life that day. And I've been living for him ever since. Now, I tell you that because in that moment, all of a sudden, God got really big, and he became very real. And all of a sudden, I heard him like I hadn't heard him for a long time. It's amazing, depending on which way you turn, is how big God can be. You can simply wheel. That's what Jesus said, didn't he? He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right behind you. Just turn around. It's right there. You can't miss it. He's Lord and King, whether you accept him as Lord and King or not. The thing is, you get to make him Lord and King of your life. And if you do, he gets real big. And guess what happens? You become the best version of you that you can be. There's more joy. There's more hope. There's more goodness of God in the land of the living here and now. Are you with me?
Yes.
Look, it's simple. Choose life or choose death. The truth of the matter is there were people around me when I gave my life to Jesus and when I was a teenager who betrayed me. These are people who I thought were my friends, people who I thought cared about me, but they introduced me to stuff that would take me further down that dark path. They betrayed me, and they started bringing death on my life. I heard less of God. I felt less of God. God became smaller to me. Listen, that's death. You can't live that way. Here's what I promise you. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him, you won't perish. You won't have death. You get life. Stand up with me as we close. look, I don't know which direction you're headed right now, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's happened before this moment. What matters is what you choose in this moment. You say, well, dude, I'm like a Christian, but, you know, I've been struggling with some things. And look, I get it. I really do. I do get it. I have struggled. I understand. There have been times where I've shifted a little bit and not allowed God to be as big as he needs to be. I've not sought to hear him. I've not desired his instruction. And because of that, life got off track. I get it. Maybe you're here and you're saying that, hey, I don't know him at all. I've never done what you're talking about. I didn't even know there was another way. I've known something about God, but I can't say that I've ever really known him. Maybe you're listening. Or maybe you're watching on YouTube right now. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what part of the world you're in. I'm telling you, God is right there with you in your car, whether you're walking in the woods, whether you're in your living room, whether you're in prison right now. I'm telling you, he is with you and he loves you. And what you're feeling in your heart, that weight, that weightiness that you're feeling, that's him tugging at your heart to turn. Just turn. Just turn. Believe him enough to turn. Put your eyes on him. Let him figure out the hard stuff. Let him figure out how you're going to fix that. Just turn right now. And here's the promise. That he will give you the heaven kind of life. That's what Jesus promised, isn't it? Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have the heaven kind of, the eternal kind of life. So just everyone, close your eyes. Just so this is a personal moment between you and God. And if you just want to turn, then just do that like I did that. I kind of held my hands up to God just like a little kid, because that's how we have to come into the kingdom, not knowing it all, not having it all figured out, not having the whole Bible memorized or all of your act together. Listen, he'll take your mess. If you give him your mess, he'll give you his life. And so just, if that's you, just lift up your hands right now. If you're listening, if you're watching, wherever you're at, if you're in this room or you're somewhere else in the world, just lift up your hands and say, God, I choose from this moment to turn to you. I want to make you bigger. I need your instruction. I don't know even what it is right now. But I just have a strong sense that you'll help me figure it all out. That you'll lead me. And you'll never separate yourself from me, because that's what your word says. So, Father, I just release this truth into my brother, into my sister that's turning to you right now. And I ask in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord, that his blood would be sufficient to wash them completely and cleanse them and take their mess and turn it into a beautiful life. May I be the first to congratulate you in the best decision you could possibly make in your life. That his abundant life, his eternal life, will begin to fill you and transform you
into who he's called you to be. The most beautiful version of you that you could possibly be. So, Father, bless them, keep them, make your face to shine on them. Lift up your countenance on them now and give them your peace and your grace. May your life fill us all. In Jesus' mighty name. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higby. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.